Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for a good night's rest. We thank you for the rain you've sent. We thank you for the beautiful week we had this week. Great weather, Lord, a lot of sunshine. We're thankful for your creation, Lord, as we drive, as we see maybe the clouds or a rainbow, or Lord, we just see a mountain vista or the rivers. Lord, your creation is magnificent, Lord, and yet we can't imagine what heaven is like, Lord, without sin. And Lord, we look forward to that day. I pray each one here today, each one that may be tuning in by live stream or Zoom, knows Christ as Savior, has a personal relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and is on their way to heaven, Lord, and sure of that. Lord, we thank you that we can have a missions conference, Lord. Thankful that we can emphasize missions and the call of the gospel and your heart's desire, Lord, that none perish, but that all would come to repentance and be saved, Lord. Thank you for each one of our missionaries, Lord. Brother Nair, who's already on to another church. Lord, we thank you for his ministry here. Each of our missionaries and families that are playing a part in this church, Lord. And we thank you for them. Continue to bless them and their travels, their safety, their ministries, where you've put them. Lord, we do want to lift up, too, in our church family, Miss Frances, Lord, who had a sister pass away. Lord, I believe 4 siblings within 1 year span, Lord. And I know that's been a great grief and sorrow to her, Lord. And I pray you'd comfort and encourage her in the Lord with the loss of her sister here recently, Lord. And I pray that we would have an opportunity to love on her, Lord, if she's here today or the next time she's here. May she find strength from your word, I pray. Use her and her family, Lord, many that do not know you as Savior. I pray for Bob, Jessica and their family, Lord. As Bob's grandmother passed away, the funeral was yesterday. Lord, most of his family are pretty devout Catholic, Lord, as well as Jessica's. And Lord, I pray that you'd help Bob, Lord, to be encouraged and Lord, to share Christ. I know he does. And yet, Lord, it's not an easy field there with this family. And I pray that in the days ahead, as he's had an opportunity mentioned with his one aunt, who was receptive, Lord, to the gospel, that he would have more opportunities. And Lord, as they consider death and eternity, Lord, that they would seek some answers, perhaps from Bob and Jessica, from the Word of God. And that through this, Lord, death, that we would see someone or more than one come to know you as Savior. Lord, thank you that we can meet this morning as a local body of believers to worship you, to glorify you, to serve you this morning. May you be glorified by all that's done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as they are headed out here, we're going to invite Stephen Barrett. Hope you've had a chance to meet Stephen. And it's sort of funny, he is a missionary. He's a missionary kid, but he's still a deputation. And so we're thankful to have him today. So Stephen, share what God's laid on your heart.
Thank you. Bom dia. É prazer estar aqui com vocês. Eu gostei muito da conferência. É grande prazer e uma bênção estar aqui com vocês. Eu queria falar versículo, Josué 1:8, que diz: não se aparte da boca do livro desta lei, antes medita nela dia e noite, para que tenhas cuidado de fazer conforme a tudo quanto nele está escrito, porque então farás prosperar o teu caminho e serás bem sucedido. You can mark my name down. I just quoted Joshua 1:8 in Portuguese. No, but I just said good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all. Just so grateful that I was able to be a part of this missions conference, to be here with you, and it's been a blessing to my heart and encouragement, really. I heard several times people mentioning the good attendance, and you know, just by you being here, it was an encouragement to me, and I thank you for that. I enjoyed speaking to each and every one of you, getting to know you better. It's just been a blessing. Thank you so much for the food, for all that has been put into that, all the time of preparation. All my life, I've been on the working end of conferences in my church, in our local church in Brazil, and it feels different being on the receiving end, but I really do appreciate it, and it means a lot to me, and I thank you all for all the work that was done. You know, a lot of planning goes into this, so I just thank you. I praise the Lord for the missionaries I got to meet this week. It's been a blessing. I feel like a novice here. All these veteran missionaries and people have been in the ministry for many years. I've been in the ministry, work in our local church, but not full-time. But it's been a blessing for me to be around these men and women who have been serving their lives, serving the Lord with all their lives for so many years. And I thank you for that. So my name, as if you don't know, is Stephen Barrett. I am a third-generation missionary. My grandparents, who were originally from Pennsylvania, so I do consider Pennsylvania my home away from home, they were serving the Lord here. My great-grandfather started a church down in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where the Little League baseball was started. And my great-grandfather is one of the founders of Little League Baseball. He is in the statue of the founders. And I just think that's really cool. But we have a rich history, and I'm so glad and really grateful and honored that I'm able to be a part of such a wonderful Christian family and such wonderful Christian story, history. My grandparents have been serving the Lord in Brazil, and you will see it in the video a little bit better, but they've been serving there for 47 years. 47 years of service in Brazil. They've been used greatly by the Lord. They have started several churches there, led hundreds of lives to the Lord. That's something I enjoy so much. My grandfather, one of his last furlough before he passed away, he preached a sermon called An Old Man on the Mission Field. And he loved to title his sermons in a way that got people's attention. And he did a good job at it. One year he preached 5 Reasons Why I Hate Being a Missionary. People really were curious about what that sermon was all about. And it was things like he never wanted to learn a language. That was one thing that he told everybody. I do not want to learn a different language growing up. He even took bookkeeping so that he didn't have to take Spanish. And that was one thing he didn't want to do. He hated flying. That was another thing. And, you know, he would go through these 5 things. But then in the end of the sermon, he would give a twist to all of them. Because even though he hated flying, because of airplanes, he got to go 3,000 miles, well, more than that, 5,000-6,000 miles south and preach to a whole different country. Because he was able to learn a language, he was able to preach to 215 million different people, etc. It was an interesting message. But he passed away 2 years ago in January. He got COVID in Brazil, and he was diabetic, and he had complications. We all did. We, in our church complex, where I was raised, we have 4 apartments in the back of the church, and that's where my grandparents lived. That's where my family lived. My uncle's family, who is a Brazilian pastor there. And so we have all these apartments in the back. And during COVID, we were eating together all our meals. We didn't have anywhere else to go. We weren't able to do much. So we decided to have all our meals together. There are 14 of us who lived in the back of the church. And when my grandfather got sick, we decided that we were going to stick with him, not let him go through it alone. We would continue having our meals together. Consequently, all 14 of us got sick as well. It was interesting, to say the least. It looked like a pharmacy in our house. We have a friend who is a pharmacist, and he would bring us medications and his motorcycle. And the neighbors were extremely curious about what was going on. One neighbor asked him, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "Oh, they just got a stomach virus." And so I don't know why he decided to lie for our family, but he thought that was a good idea. But anyways, Granddad got worse and worse, and he ended up in the hospital after 2 weeks. And he had been seen by doctors and close friends who came to our house to visit him. But unfortunately, he got worse, and he ended up in the ICU, where he spent 52 days there. And it was just a time of suffering for us. He was unconscious, which I'm very grateful for. But he was there being well taken care of. But 52 days struggling there in the ICU. And we were able to visit him every day, morning and evening. And through that time, that was when God started working on my life. I had surrendered to become a missionary when I was in college, around 2018. And I knew that was what God had for my life. And at that point on, I started praying about where he wanted me to go, what exactly he wanted me to do. And I was praying and waiting in the Lord. It wasn't hard for me to give my life to be a missionary, but I wasn't sure exactly what he wanted me to do. And it was during the time that my grandfather was sick, I started talking to my dad about it. And through a series of circumstances and through a lot of time and prayer, the Lord showed me clearly that he wanted me to stay in Brazil as a full-time missionary there, continuing the work that my grandparents started 47 years ago. My grandfather passed away in January 26th of 2021. And 3 months later, I sold everything I had. I sold my car. I quit my job. I gave everything away. I sold my video game, which was when my family knew I was being serious about it. No, I'm just kidding. But I did leave everything, packed my bags, and came to the States. I didn't have family in Knoxville, which is where Ascending Church is. I didn't have a place to stay. I didn't have a vehicle. But I knew that God wanted me to get started on deputation. So I flew in May of that year. And I knew that the Lord was going to take care of everything. And He has. He has and has been. And it's been encouraging. When you take that first step of faith, you know, we all, in a way, live by faith. But it was a different type of faith when you don't know where you're going to sleep tomorrow. It was very interesting for me, first time in my life that I had that experience. I had a stable job. I was living comfortably in Brazil, and I was serving the Lord there. I grew up serving in my local church. I was saved when I was 4, almost 5, but I remember that day very clearly. I tell people that, you know, people have all sorts of different testimonies. And my testimony is not one of breaking free from addiction or changing from a life of sin. Maybe my worst addiction at that time was my pacifier or something like that. But I'm grateful for the Lord for my testimony and how I was freed from all that life of sin before that. But I have been serving the Lord in Brazil all my life with my family in the local church. I've been very much involved. But I was, like I said, working full-time as well. And I knew that God wanted me to focus my time solely to Him. And I was very honored and excited that I'm able to go back to Brazil. As I was praying, this was during Christmas time, I was driving home from the mall. I was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. And I was just seeing all those Brazilian people walking down the streets and those homes. And I was just thinking of their lives and how much in darkness they are. And I started crying in the car by myself. And I was heartbroken that even though I was willing to go wherever God wanted me to go, I was going to have to leave the people that I so dearly loved and the people that really need the Lord, as the world does, but they do too. So I'm just, as I've said, I'm honored and grateful that the Lord has allowed me to continue in Brazil and continue the work there. So as I tell people, I am a third generation missionary. My parents are missionaries there too. They are currently there. I was talking about my rich Christian heritage, which I'm very grateful for. This morning, I have an uncle who is preaching somewhere in the States, I think in South Carolina. My dad is preaching in a city called Osasco in Brazil. My brother-in-law is preaching right now in our city of Jundiaí, and I'm going to be preaching here. And we're scattered all over the place, and I'm just grateful and very honored for that. This morning I woke up with full of gratitude in my heart. Anyways, I was telling you about being a third generation missionary, and then I found my fiance. She was born in Texas and raised in Mexico as a missionary kid, and I was born in Brazil and raised there, and we met in Tennessee, and I find out that she is a fourth generation missionary. So her great grandparents are missionaries as well, which caused a problem for me because she stole my thunder. So I thought, how am I going to word this differently, knowing that, you know, my whole thing was being a third generation missionary. So now I tell people that together we represent 7 generations of missionaries. And that sounds wonderful. And really, I'm grateful for that too. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us. We are going back to Brazil, and she does have to learn the Portuguese language, and I know that will be hard for her. I'm very grateful that I know the language well. I'm fluent in Portuguese and the culture well, which is a huge blessing. But she will have to go through that. But she does speak Spanish fluently, so that is already maybe a shortcut in some ways. She will have an easier time. She is doing an online course already, and she speaks to my cousins in Portuguese more than she does to me, and I don't blame her for that. So she'll speak Portuguese to me when the time comes. But it's been very good, and we're excited about getting married on the 30th of November. We will be getting married in Mexico, where she is, and then we're having our honeymoon, and we'll 1 month vacation in Brazil. So we're very grateful for that. It'll be in the end of the year, so it's a time where you can't really schedule a lot of meetings. Churches have all their Christmas activities and all that. So the Lord worked things out perfectly, and we're just excited about that. When we go back to Brazil, we will be starting, with the Lord's help, a deaf church. During my college time, I studied languages. It was English, Portuguese, and linguistics. And during that time, I had one semester of sign language, and I really enjoyed it. It was a semester class I had to take, and I enjoyed it very much, and I got it down pretty well. The teacher said I had a knack for it, and I just enjoyed it. I didn't know I was going to enjoy it so much. That was my first contact with sign language. And then a few months after that, we had a missions conference in Brazil with all the Brazilian missionaries from BIMI. We get together for a week, and a field conference is called. And a couple that are missionaries to Brazil, they are both deaf. They were there that year, right after I had my semester of sign language. And it was very frustrating because even though I had that semester, I wasn't able to communicate with them very well. And if you stay with me for a little bit, you can tell I like to talk, and I wasn't able to talk to them at all. You know, you can write notes and you can do gestures and all that, but that's not really talking, you know, and it felt very frustrating for me. And that opened my mind to, you know, praise the Lord, they are saved and Christians, and they have accepted the Lord as their Savior. But what if these weren't saved? What if this couple was not saved? What could I do to help them? You know, you could give them a gospel tract, but then they are on their own after that. And the Lord really worked in my heart and through that situation, and He started working on my heart about the deaf ministry. And I started looking things up. And in our city, there is a deaf club and a deaf school. So they are around, but there's no one there to reach them with the gospel. Some cults have it. The Catholics, they reach the deaf people there in Brazil and many others. But none of us with the gospel can do that. And the Lord has called me to do that. And I'm very excited. I have, in the video you will see in a little bit, our church people, we took a basic sign language course. And 100 of our people took the course. And they did a six-week class. And it was a three-hour class every week. And they all got signed diplomas, and it was really neat. You will see us doing some sign language together at one point of the video. But the number that said in Brazil for deaf people, this is deaf and hard of hearing, but who use the sign language or could use the sign language, is an estimated of 10 million people. That's in all of Brazil, but that is a very large number. That's size of many countries, really, of people who are not being reached with the gospel in Brazil. And we do have land. I could tell you the story of how God worked that out. And I'll tell you quickly, but we were, after my granddad passed away, my grandmother came back to the States for a short furlough a few months after that. And she came, it was really almost like a business furlough where she was letting her churches know that she was going to continue in Brazil and not come back to the States if they could either continue supporting her. But many churches have policies where they drop the widows. So if they were going to drop her, if they could pick my dad up for support, because he's now financially taking care of my grandmother. So it was a business trip, but we did have this land in our hearts that we wanted to purchase for the deaf church. But we decided that during that trip, it would not be the best time to tell churches, since it was already a sort of a business trip. We were just going to leave it in the Lord's hands. And leaving things in the Lord's hands is the best place to leave things. The Lord took care of that in a miraculous way. We went to a church where we knew some friends, and they took us out to eat afterwards. And they were asking questions about our projects and our plans. So we were able to tell them, as friends, we didn't have any idea that they were going to take an interest on that project, but we told them about the project, and they really got interested in it, and they took that to their pastor, and they gave us a personal offering of about $2,500, and then the church doubled that, and so we had our first $5,000. The land, just the land, was about $40,000, but that $5,000 was a start, and it really got us excited to see how God took care of that without us even having to go after it. And we knew that He was going to take care of the rest. So 2 weeks after that, we went to another conference in Virginia. I was traveling with them. I was not on deputation at that time. I could have started deputation, but my family was in the States for a five-month furlough. I said, you know what, I'm going to join them for that. So I did. I was able to be with them before starting my deputation. And the Lord led that way too. And we went to this other church in Virginia, and it so happens that someone, a man in that church, he donated a very large amount of money to be used for that missions conference. It wasn't supposed to be put away. It wasn't supposed to be saved. It was supposed to be given out that week. And the pastor came to us asking about a need, a project, and we did tell him about the land. So he said, well, we're going to pay off the rest of it for you. So they were able to pay the rest of the land off for us. And that was, we were rejoicing, and it was just an amazing time when we saw God taking care of our needs without us even having to mention it to people. God was in control. It took about a month to get all that money to Brazil. There's a lot of bureaucracy. There's a lot of paperwork that has to be done when a lot of money is being moved around. And it took about a month. And after that month, my uncle, who is in Brazil, he's a Brazilian pastor there, the pastor from the church that I was raised in, he got the money and he took it to the landowner. And the landowner said, I'm so sorry, I sold this land to someone else yesterday, just the day before. And that land has been there empty, messed up, messy, overgrown ever since I was born. Nobody was interested in it. Nobody wanted that place. It's not a very good location for, you can't put a business there. It's not a very good location for a home. It's just a piece of land there that would have been perfect for us, but really not for anybody else. You can park about 6 cars there, and that's all you can get. So it's not a good parking lot. So we were confused. The first reaction is discouragement. And, you know, why, Lord? Why would you give us this money and show us that you were doing this for us and then take it away from us? But the next reaction, and the right reaction, was trust. So we decided to trust the Lord and know that he knows what he is doing. That land is not ours. That land is not that man's who purchased it. That's the Lord's land. And we knew that if he wanted us to have it, he would take care of it. The next week, the man who purchased it, he came and to take pictures. It's land connected to our main church there where we have the Bible Institute and all that. So he needed pictures of our side of the building. And my uncle started talking to him and asking questions about it. So he's like, well, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you wanted to purchase it. I just needed a piece of land, and this is the first thing that came up. So I bought it for my business. But if you can help me find something better, I'll sell it back to you. So my uncle did, and for about a week, he helped this man find another location. The man was even happier with that new location, and he sold that land back to us. So now it is in our hands. We do own that land, and we are so grateful for that. As I'm here on deputation, and this is where I know that God wants me, visiting churches like this one, participating in conferences like this. As I am here doing this, they are working there with engineers and building projects already. So work is already being done and building that, working on that building. So when I get back, we will already have a head start in that land, in that building where we're going to build the deaf church. So I'm just so excited about what God has been doing, and I'm excited to see what he will do through my life. And I'm giving my life completely to him, for him to use however he pleases. And I hope that and pray that he may use me for great purposes. I see these men and what they have been able to do, and through their ministries and churches that have been started. I pray that the Lord may use my life as well, and that one day I'll be able to come back and report to my churches and show the fruit that you all have been a part of. So that's a little bit of my story. We will see the video now. It's a short video. Shows a little bit more details, and then I will come back and share some thoughts from the Word of God. Thank you.
In 1976, Larry and Lida Bell Barrett obeyed the Lord's calling and went as BIMI missionaries to Brazil, the largest country in South America and the 5th most populous country in the world. They were prepared to live in a small hut in the middle of the jungle to serve the Lord. But what must have been their surprise when they landed in the giant metropolis of São Paulo? Brazil is a country taken over by Catholicism, Spiritism, and many other false religions. But God has used Larry and Lida Bell's ministry to reach hundreds of lives for the Lord and to start several churches. They have been serving the Lord faithfully for over 45 years in the city of Jundiaí and surrounding regions. Then, on January 26, 2021, after battling COVID in the ICU for over 50 days, Larry Barrett went home to be with the Lord. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. But that was not the end of his ministry. Revelations 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And this is where I come in. My name is Stephen Barrett. I am the son of Tim and Lydia Barrett, second-generation missionaries to Brazil, and grandson of Larry and Lydabel Barrett. Having grown up as a missionary kid, I was saved at a very young age, and even though I have been serving along with my family all my life, soul winning, teaching Sunday school classes, working in the music ministry, discipling, working with the deaf, helping in camps, and in many other capacities, the Lord has given me a burden to step up and do even more, and has called me into full-time ministry. Having been accepted as a third-generation missionary with BIMI, I will be working with a team of church planters to help establish churches in neighboring cities around Jundiaí, cities with populations of 50,000 and more, which don't have a single independent Baptist church. During the pandemic, we started transmitting the services of our main church online. Through these transmissions, we have been in contact with people from these cities around Jundiaí who don't have a good church to attend. We will have evangelistic meetings in these families' homes and eventually train and work alongside them to start churches in these cities. It is my plan to initially work alongside a deaf missionary couple and help start a deaf church in our city of Jundiaí. In 2019, a missionary couple who works with the deaf in Brazil came to our church to give us a beginner's course in Libras, Brazilian Sign Language. 100 of our people responded to the challenge to learn at least the basics. There is a great need for deaf churches in Brazil, where there are over 10 million deaf, a great majority of whom have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. God called us to preach the gospel to every creature, and that includes the deaf population of Brazil. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Brazil is such a needy country. There is so much to do, but the laborers are so few. Could you please help me go? Would you please pray for me and the Barrett ministry in Brazil?
A little bit of my story. Thank you very much for your prayers for me. It means a lot to have. I grew up as a missionary kid, so all my life I was
in a prayer card, but it was with my father and under his name. But having my own prayer card and knowing that people are praying specifically for me and for my ministry, I will tell you it means a lot. It means a lot to me, and I'm very, very grateful. So I appreciate you, your church, greatly, and I thank you so much for your prayers. One of the men of those 100 people who took that beginner sign language course, he had only one arm, and he took the course and graduated. So I ask you, what's your excuse? No, but he did, and it was a great encouragement to us all. Growing up in the mission field, I have seen a lot of missionary kids and missionaries who have been sad and discouraged and have given up and have left. And that has been something that has bothered me through the years. And I really do have a happy life. I loved serving the Lord with my family. We work a lot. We work hard, as you all involved in ministry know. It's hard work. It's many times stressful. People If you work with people, they will stress you out eventually. But it's been wonderful. And working with my family has just been a tremendous blessing. And we are joyful. We have great joy serving the Lord together. And it bothers me to see other people and other children, missionary kids, who don't have that joy. And that led me to prepare this sermon. It's a quick, practical message. And the verse that we will read today is Philippians 4:4. It's a short verse that we all know well, I'm sure. But Philippians 4:4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Let me pray before we start here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their love for you and for missions, Lord. What an honor it is for me to be able to participate in this missions conference this year, Lord. I thank you for that. Help me, Lord, to just share these quick thoughts from your word that we may learn, Lord, to be joyful people as we serve you and we are in your ministry and in your work, Lord. Help us today with the remainder of our services and all that we do, Lord. Even being eating and the church service afterwards, Lord, may we do it all for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Philippians 4:4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." You know, the Apostle Paul here, when he wrote these words, we could imagine that he was in a good situation, in a comfortable house, surrounded by friends and family. But that is very far from the truth. We know that when he wrote this, he was in a prison. And I like to think of historical context and all that. We think of prisons nowadays, and they are places that I would not like to be in. But if you can go back to Paul's time and imagine the horrible situation that he was in, probably very dark, cold, wet prison full of pests and rats and little food and uncomfortable and excruciating pain. And we can just imagine the horrible situation that the Apostle Paul was in. Yet he writes the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Here in Philippians, we read the word joy or rejoice over 16 times. And that shows the importance that joy was in the life of the Apostle Paul. The Christian life is not always going to be easy, and as we just saw the example of Apostle Paul, I wrote down several things that had happened through his life. His message was rejected many times. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. He was deserted by close friends. Many of the believers were backsliding and abandoning the faith. There were competitions from other preachers and people preaching simply to get him and other Christians in trouble. There was a lack of money and finances. There were plots to kill him. There were many influences from religions, cultures, ideologies, different practices during his time. He was shipwrecked. We know he was bitten by a snake, which for me is probably the worst. I hate snakes. And many things that we could talk about the Apostle Paul and how much he went through when he decided to serve the Lord. Yet he writes the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Joy is something very important in the Christian life. It's important. It was important for Paul, and it's important for our Lord too. And we should be joyful people in the Christian life. We know that there will be persecutions. The Christian life will be hard. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 11 and 12. "Persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We are warned here that if we decide, if we choose to live for the Lord Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. But that's where we have to be careful to not base our joy in circumstances. Like I said, serving the Lord can get stressful. People will let you down. Situations will discourage you. But our joy can never be based on these situations. The Apostle Paul himself says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And contentment is such an important thing in a Christian life. And I wrote down here a few things that we could do in order to have a joyful life, serving the Lord in whatever circumstances we are, wherever it is that God sends you, we can be joyful and we can have victory through Him. And the very first thing that I want to share with you is, in order to be joyful, we must be saved. That is the very first and most important step. And I don't know all of you here today, and I believe that if you are here on a rainy, cozy Sunday morning, you are probably a Christian, love the Lord. But if you are here today and do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, do not let one more day go by before you accept Him as your Savior. And that will be the first step for you to experience true joy in the Christian life. But also, in order to have joy, we must abide in Christ. John 15, verses 1 to 11 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. I won't read the whole passage due to time, but the end of it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What a beautiful passage about abiding in the vine. And many times we as Christians, we forget to spend time with Christ, with the vine. We have to have a personal, continuous relationship with Jesus Christ. Many times, and I know I am very much guilty of this, we do our devotions just to get them out of the way. Or if we are doing a yearly Bible reading, we struggle through that reading of the day just to say you did it so you won't get behind. But we forget to have a real relationship with Christ. We don't spend enough time in Bible reading and prayer and meditation of His Word. You know, I get a weekly report on my phone. I have an Apple phone, and they send me a weekly report of how much, an average of hours or how much time I spent each day on my phone. And it's not doing anything bad, and many times it's important for work and all that. But those reports, they scare me. Sometimes they are much higher than I ever expected them to be. And I see how much time we spend in other things. Like I said, not doing bad things necessarily, but time that we don't spend abiding with Christ. And we must do that in order to be joyful in the Christian life. Also, in order to have joy, we must believe. Romans 15, 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of promises, and I was doing a study of the promises in the Word of God, and there are literally hundreds that we can read from, and they are encouraging. But if we don't believe, they are simply words. So in order for us to be joyful, we must believe in these things. We must believe that He said and He will always provide for us. We must believe that He loves us. We must believe that He will never do anything that will harm us. Even if you're going through a horrible situation, God's love and His grace will be sufficient. And we must believe in these things in order to have joy. Also, in order to have joy, we must repent from sin. Sin always gets in our way of our joy. And as we already seen, there's no joy that comes from sin. Many times people seek for temporary pleasures. We've seen, we read in Hebrews how, I think it's 11. Anyways, how Moses, he chose to suffer with his people rather than enjoying the pleasures of Egypt just for a season. And that joy of the pleasures of sin will only last for a short season. But we must ensure that we don't let that sin get in the way of our relationship with Christ. Psalm 51 is a psalm where we read King David repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. We know the story, how he looked into Bathsheba and brought her in for himself and got her husband killed and all that horrible situation. And I believe that King David went through a period of time where he was not in fellowship with the Lord, and he was not in joy. I imagine even he was maybe living in paranoia and not wanting to be found out, and a horrible time in his life because he let that sin get in the way of his relationship with God. But Psalm 51 says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." That sin caused great sadness in King David's life, and sin will cause sadness in our lives. But when we repent and make things right with the Lord, our joy will be restored. Also, in order for us to be joyful in the Christian life, we must be grateful people. Gratitude is such an important thing for me and for the Lord, and I know for all of us Christians. But if you just spend a day out in the world, you know how little gratitude means. Nowadays, it's a sign we know from the Word of God that people are going to be more and more ungrateful, but it still bothers me. I don't like ungratitude. How do you say that word? Ingratitude. Thank you. It bothers me. And sometimes I know I maybe shouldn't do this, but I was at McDonald's a few years ago, and my family, when we go out, it's 20 of us, so it's a lot of people. And I'm always in charge of getting the ketchup, so I fill up the ketchup cups, and it's a lot of ketchup. So I let this woman go in front of me, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to get a lot of ketchup, so you may go." So she just goes and gets her ketchup and leaves. So I turned around and said, "Well, you're welcome." And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, thank you." And I maybe shouldn't do that, but people are not grateful anymore. But we as Christians, we should be grateful. We have so much to be grateful for. If you are having trouble thanking the Lord for something, you may want to reevaluate your life because he has done so much for us. I have a gratitude journal at home, and I try once a day to write something that I'm grateful for. I say I try because sometimes I go by and I forget to do it, but always when I do that, there's not one day that goes by where I struggle to thank the Lord for something because he has done so much for us. And if you are having a hard time thanking him, thank him for saving you. Thank him for being a good God. You know, he is God, and he didn't have to be good, but he chose to be good for us. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for giving you health. And I know many of us struggle with health issues, but he's given us enough health that we are able to be here this morning, and that's something we should be thankful for. Thankful for his provision. Thanking him for things that we take for granted every day. I was just talking to a missionary to the Ukraine, and how much health problems his family had through the years, and he's back in the States on a furlough, but health problems because they didn't have drinking water in where they were. And that's something that we, I believe, take for granted and we should be thankful for. And so many things that we should be thankful to the Lord for. Also, to be joyful, we must have hope. As you saw in my video and my testimony, my grandfather, he passed away, and I was very close to my grandfather. We weren't just grandfather and grandson. He was also my pastor and a dear friend of mine. During college, I was able to visit him every night. I got home at around 11:20 at night, and he was always in his living room. We were neighbors, so and I always, every night, I didn't miss one night, I would go say goodnight to him, tell him how my day went, and he would pray with me, and it was a very precious thing to me. And when we lost him, I lost someone very dear to me, and it left a huge hole in my life, even a hole. I imagine, you know, who's going to pray for me like my grandfather used to pray for me? And it really was a hard time in my life, my family's life, our church's life. But that hope that we will see him again one day, it's just amazing. And sometimes I catch myself thinking, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to run to my grandfather and he'll be the first person I'm going to hug. Then I stop and think, you know, we're going to spend eternity with our Savior. He will be the first person we will want to see there in heaven. And if that doesn't fill you with hope, I don't know what else will. Many of us, we let politics and economy and friends, even family, dictate our joy. And we put our hope in these things. But these things will always let you down. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So let's put our hope in Christ and things to come. We are on the winning side, and we can be hopeful people. And finally, to be happy and joyful in the Christian life, we must be sure that we are doing God's will for our life. I told you a little bit about my story and things that I left in Brazil and the few comforts that I had there. And many missionaries, many people I know sacrificed, and I'm using that word incorrectly, but sacrificed the way we think of it. They give up a lot to do missionary work. And many people go to places where you would not even want to visit. But these people and these missionaries and these people who have dedicated their lives fully to the Lord, they are happy because they know that they are in the center of God's will for their life. Had I stayed in Brazil and with all my life that was there and continued the way I was, I would not be joyful right now because I know what God's will is for my life. And I know that staying there at that time for my life was not His will. And there's no way I could be as joyful as I am now, knowing that I'm not doing God's will for my life. So that's what I want to leave with you all today. If you know what God's will is for your life, if you don't, ask Him, and He is going to show you. But if you know what it is and you are not doing it, you will not have joy. Even though it may seem like a hard thing to do, being in the center of God's will for your life will bring you joy. I just want to finish with Romans 12:2, which says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If someone said that they had something for me that was not only good, not only acceptable, but perfect, I would want that thing. That's what the will of God is for each and every one of our lives. So as I said, in order to be joyful in the Christian life, and joy is such an important thing for each and every one of us, we must, first of all, be saved. But we must abide in Christ. We must believe in His word. We must repent from our sins and make sure that sin is not getting between us and our Savior. We must show gratitude. We must be hopeful in things that God has promised us. And we must be sure that we are in the center of God's will for each and every one of our lives. And that is how we have true joy in the Christian life. Again, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, I had to share my ministry and my burden, and my love for Brazil, Lord. I can't wait to get back there and serve you and with the Brazilian people there. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for all who came. Help us, Lord, to serve you today in church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.